But it is good to see. I love Christmas, don't you?
Amen.
And but it is good to be in the house of the Lord together this morning. This is a prayer that we're going to read this morning, beginning. And it is a prayer that Mary, when she found out that she was pregnant with the Messiah, she prayed this prayer. And it was a prayer of rejoicing. And you know, that is a large part of prayer. And that is, we rejoice in prayer. So let's read verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Now, if you will, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 16 through 24. Don't try to find 1 Thessalonians 8 because there is none. Okay, so just go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's read verses 16 through 24. These are the words from the Apostle Paul, and it's a challenge. It is a challenge to us, challenge to every Christian, for us how to live our daily lives. Verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances." This is talking about preaching. "But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass." Well, let's pray together. And I want to read a Christmas card that we received this past week. And it's from Justin and Rachel and Annabelle. And he says, "Justin, Rachel, Annabelle, and Bump." Well, you know, she's expecting. So it says, "Your prayers and support have been a huge blessing to our family this year. We've been able to accomplish so much with our church, even during this crazy pandemic. We have seen 9 people accept Christ as our Savior, 9 people baptized. Our church has welcomed several new families, and we continue to have first-time guests nearly every week. We have been privileged to disciple 20-plus men and women. This year, we also started up small groups in our church for the first time. Rachel helps lead the Young Moms group, and Zoom has allowed us to all keep meeting despite the lockdown. Annabelle has gotten very big since she celebrated her first birthday in March. She loves going out for a walk and seeing the animals, buses, and especially aeroplanes. She loves dancing to the songs from our toddler videos and is beginning to do crafts. And Rachel and I are very excited for baby girl number 2. Rachel has just finished work and now can now just focus on preparing for the baby, and she will go back in the spring of 2022. Thank you again for all you do for us, and we pray that 2021 will be a great year for you and your family." And I'll put this up on the missionary board, but they also have the ultrasound of the baby on the back, which I thought was very cute. Well, let's pray. And as we pray, let's pray for them this morning, that as they are trying to get to worship or just some sort of normalcy there in London, doing a great job there. And of all the missionaries we reach or support, he is the tops. I mean, you know, I had the privilege to see it firsthand when I was there in February, and they're just doing just a great work there in London. But Richard and Joyce are not here today. Richard is not feeling well, so let's pray for them that that they will recover from a little bit of a stomach bug that hit them very quickly this morning. So let's pray for them. But once again, it's good to have Tyler. So Tyler, if you will, right from your where you are, will you open us up in prayer today, this morning? Amen. All right, let's turn around and shake hands, greet one another. It's been a while since we have had a children's part in our church during Christmas. Now, did y'all come all the way from Maine just to see this today? Okay, absolutely. All right. So, but we're very glad to have them. Haley has been working really hard, and Yara as well, working really hard with these kids and children and memorizing scripture and. So they're going to bless our souls this morning with some scripture and also with singing this morning. All right?
Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14.
He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Job. Did it bless your soul? Did mine as well. Now, Jose, Marilena, your baby Isaac will be up there before you know it. So. All right, this is the message that I received this morning. I received it at 8:51 this morning. This is from a pastor in Maine by the name of Bob Emmerich. So, it appears that you have done it again. My pianist is in North Carolina! ! As soon as I find out who governs the Baptist churches in North Carolina, I feel the need to report this theft. I am going to ask that reparations be made in the form of your forfeiting one family by sending them to Maine. So who volunteers to go? Anybody volunteer to go to Maine? All right. Yeah, too cold. Yeah, so I couldn't help but laugh when I saw that this morning. All right, take your bulletins out. Got a number of announcements that I want to go over this morning with you, and I got a couple of things to pass out to you this morning as well. If you'll note, over on our Sunday and Wednesday numbers, we received a very large financial gift a couple of weeks ago. In fact, I think it was Thanksgiving week. I got a text from a friend of mine He was in my men's Bible study group at Berean, and he's an occasional attender, but his work keeps him on the road quite a bit. But he gave a very large gift of $16,950 towards the church. He specified that the money on the Easy Tithe, he specified on it that the money go towards replacing the sign out front. So, Pastor Ken, if you will you come give us an update on the sign?
All right, Mr. John Ryan is building our sign, and the upper part, that's the static part, and the good thing is it's going to be lit from inside instead of from the outside, and they're LED lights, and they're going to last forever, we're told, and so it's being constructed even this very weekend because they've been held up on the plexiglass, and you know why, because of COVID and so forth. So that's well underway. John also has given us a bid for the electronic LED section of it. It's quite pricey, so we're still talking about what that's going to cost, but we want to have it look, to go along with the size sign we already have, and so we'll be discussing the actual price there. But he so far has given us the best bid out of the three companies we've talked to. So that's where we are, and so we might have the upper part done by even this time next week. Thank you.
So I appreciate Pastor Ken working hard the last few months on getting that sign replaced. Now, the upper part that is going to be replaced hopefully in the next few days, that part, the money for that has already been designated and has already basically been committed towards him. We've already voted on that. But the digital sign part down at the lower part is we've accepted three bids. Well, we've asked for three bids. Two of the three, they're still working on the pricing. So hopefully within the next couple of days, we'll have the prices on that, and we can discuss it maybe next Sunday night and discuss it and then make a vote on it. Now, this is one thing that Jeff and Tyler and Pastor Ken and I have discussed already, that with this large financial gift is that right off the top, before we even begin to pay for the digital part of the sign, we tithe off of that to our missionaries. I think that is our number one commitment. So in the month of December, our missionaries will receive not only their regular gift that we give them, but they'll receive, I think we broke it down to about, $280, I think, roughly, that they will receive in addition to the $100 that they receive from us already. So they're going to receive a nice Christmas gift from our church, and for our little church, that's a tremendous blessing for them. And God will honor that as He already is. He'll honor that of how we commit that to Him. Now, let me piggyback on that a little bit. Even though you see in the column that our giving has basically already, numbers wise, has met what our monthly giving should be. $16,950 of that is already committed towards giving to our missionaries and giving of the sign. That means that everybody needs to stay faithful in your giving, okay, of your tithes and your offerings, because we still have financial obligations that we have to meet, okay? Outside of that $16,950, we still have our power bills to pay. We still have Lumbee guarantee that we have to pay. We still have salaries we have to pay. So don't think, well, I could take a break this month because we've already met that. No, it doesn't mean that at all. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Okay, so we need to remain faithful in our giving. So as I have there in the pastor's notes, we still have to meet our other financial obligations and finish the year strong. Christmas week is going to be upon us before you know it. So this week, a regular midweek service. We have our prayer and Bible study in here at 7. Awana will be meeting 7. What's the theme for this week? Do you know right off the top of your head? Okay, canned goods again. Okay, so bring canned goods. Now, once again, we're not going to make that just an Awana event. We're going to make it a church-wide event. So can we extend it to Sunday like we did last week? Okay, so bring canned goods either Wednesday or next Sunday, because this time of the year for some families is a very difficult time of the year. And so let's make sure we make that happen. But then the following week, we will not have our regular Wednesday night Bible study. It will be moved to Christmas Eve on that Thursday. So we'll have a Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. It will be a very, we'll sing some Christmas hymns. We'll read some Christmas passages from God's Word, have a quick Christmas challenge, and then we'll be out of here by 8 o'clock, okay? Because I know many of you have family traditions that you do as a family, and we don't want to keep you from doing those things. And then Christmas Day, you'll have your regular thing. But then the following Sunday, we're just going to have Sunday morning service, no Sunday school, but Sunday morning service at 10:30 that Sunday. So if you show up at 11, you're going to miss out on half of the service already. So make sure you're here at 10:30 on that Sunday. And then you can see the rest of the announcements there. All right, Gerald, if you will, you and the men that you grabbed, if y'all will come up, we've got some things to pass out to everyone. Okay, this is an annual event that we give to everyone. Okay, you'll receive two items. Okay, every person, teenage years and older, will get one. Okay, while those are being passed out, let me go over them with you. The first thing you're going to get is a booklet. Okay, we started this, I think, my second year here. Well, really, my first full year. 2013 was after my first full year. I became pastor here in 2012. But the following December 2013, we began this. Okay, it is a prayer booklet. It is basically the same every year, for the exception of this. Okay, we had to make some changes with deacons, their families. So Tyler and Haley and their children have been added. Chris Massia, it was time for him to rotate off, so he is removed off of the prayer booklet. But Tyler and his family, and then Jeff and his family have been added to it. And then because of the election results this past November, we've had to make some changes in regard to the president, vice president. The governor stayed the same, but the lieutenant governor changed. I think there were some other changes as well, some cosmetic changes that I made throughout. Okay? So this is to help you in your prayer life. Okay? You will only grow as much as two things. Well, really three. Okay, the third one is you're here, so that should cover it, church attendance. But the first two are aids that I'm giving you. The first one is you will get a Bible reading calendar, and that is how you can read the Bible through in a year. Basically, it boils down to two, three chapters at the most of the Old Testament, one, maybe two of the New Testament. You're talking maybe 15 minutes at the most. Read the Bible through in a year. Okay, I've done it now for several years. And every time I do it, I find something new. And so let me encourage you. Read the Bible through in a year. And then secondly, your prayer life. You will only grow as much as you absorb God's word and as much as you talk to the Lord. So I'm giving you two things to help you out. So do you have any excuses? No, you don't, because I'm helping you out here. So a Bible reading calendar and then the prayer booklet. So put them with your Bible, put them with your journal or wherever it is that you have your quiet time with the Lord. Did everybody receive one of each? Okay, everybody got one. All right, praise the Lord. So use these things, if you will. If you lose yours, that's fine. We'll have extras at the table. We keep them there all year. Maybe you wear yours out, and so you need another one, just walk by and grab one, because we'll keep an abundant supply there at the Welcome Center table there as well. All right, Pastor Ken.
All right, as our worship people are coming back up, let's stand together, shall we? We're going to sing another great Christmas song, Christmas hymn. The thing about these hymns is they have doctrine in them. And I want to challenge you that every time you hear a Christmas hymn, that you think about, oh, there's doctrine. Oh, there's doctrine again. There's truth again. And even the song we're going to sing now, and especially our closing song this morning, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, after the end of the message, has a lot of doctrine in it. Good Christian men rejoice. Let's sing that together. Sing it out.
Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Man and beast before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened heaven's door, and man is blessed evermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Called you one and called you all to gain an everlasting home. Christ was born to save.
Sing it.
Christ was born to save.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Great singing. Thank you, worship team.
All right. I do need to make one change on the prayer booklet, so get yours back out. I forgot to okay, so I gotta get Morgan unmad at me. I forgot to put Noah there. All right, so if you'll open it up where it says Pastor Dwayne's family on Mondays, put Noah there if you will. Don't forget about Noah. All right. Now, last night we had a great time with our Christmas party. We had a lot of people come last night. We had a great time, and if you were not able to make it, you missed out on a great time. Now, we've got two Christmas trees in the church. We got this one, then we've got the one out in the fellowship hall. Some families last night utilized the one in the fellowship hall to have some family Christmas pictures taken. Some of them were serious, and then others were of more comical in nature. Now, if you want to use this one or you want to use the one in the fellowship hall, please feel free to do so, okay? Now, you can use these things that Sonia made. Now, you can do, you know, where you're having Christmas gifts, or you can put a bow tie on, or you can have a Santa Claus face, or you can do a Santa Claus face and a hat all at once, or you can look like an elf, or you can make yourself look like a reindeer, or you can point to Candy Cane Lane. Or you can do the stoic hat there, you know, with the holly on it. But we'll have them in here. We'll have some in here if you want to take them to the fellowship hall and to have some pictures there done. Maybe you want to take a serious family picture, and then you can do a funny family picture. That'd be great. And I appreciate Sonia taking the time to put those together. All right, I want to invite you this morning. Take your Bibles and let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Haley, but I think that was the first verse that was quoted this morning, right? By Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And we're going to talk about this morning about the name of Christ. What is his name? What does his name mean? What is his name? You know, names are important. Shakespeare has a very popular quote that's been quoted many times. It's from Romeo and Juliet. It says, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." You know, a person's name is the greatest connection to their identity, individuality. You could say that it is the most important word in the world to a person is their name. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever met somebody for the first time, and then the next time you ran into that person and they remembered your name? How many of you felt important? But then you ran into another, you met someone for the first time, and then you ran into them maybe a couple of weeks later, and they had to ask you for your name again. Did you feel as important? Or maybe you've met that person several times and they still couldn't remember your name. That would be me. Okay? That I have to ask for your name several times before I finally get it. Wade Holder had a habit of when he would meet someone, he would ask them, how do you spell your name? Is it D-W-A-Y-N-E or is it D-U-A-N-E? How do you spell it? And that's the way that he would remember somebody's name, was he would ask them to spell it out. You know, it's the one way that you can easily get someone's attention. It's a sign of courtesy. It's a sign of recognizing that person. So this text that we're going to look at this morning is one of, if not, one of the most important biblical prophecies of the birth of Christ. In Handel's Messiah, outside of the Hallelujah chorus, this text is the most popular piece of music in Handel's Messiah. To the Jewish historian, they will say that this text is just simply a prophecy of a king that would rule in the place of the wicked King Ahaz. To the Jew of the day, they will say that this prophecy is still yet to be fulfilled. To the believer in Christ, we know exactly who is discussed in this verse, and that is the true Messiah of Jesus Christ. So let's look at it. Let's read it together. Let's pray, and then we're going to work through it this morning. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace." Well, let's pray together, maybe. Our Father God in heaven, as we have just read this wonderful text this morning, this wonderful verse, just one verse we're going to look at today. Father God, we do pray that it would just be real to us, as it was real to me as I prepared it this past week. And as I sat back in my office and just looked at the amazement of this verse and how Christ was described in this verse. Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds would grasp the true meaning of this verse this morning. May it give us a whole different perspective and aspect of Christmas in this time of the year, and the names and description of the true Messiah of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning, or maybe watching or listening now or maybe in the future, that has never trusted the finished work of Christ, I pray that they will do so today or before it is eternally too late. And also, Father, those of us that are believers, I do pray, Father, that we would come to a whole different understanding of the names and description of Jesus Christ. And in his name we do pray, amen. Okay, the first name that we see here is the word Wonderful. The word wonderful. Now, what does it mean by his name will be called Wonderful? Well, we see the root word, and that is the word wonder. Now, what is meant by this word? Well, it means wonder, or it means to marvel. It means extraordinary. It means of God's act of judgment and redemption. But also says this, it is a hard word or description to understand. Psalm chapter 78, verse 12 says this, "He performed wonders before their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the land of Zoan. Psalm 89:15, the heavens will praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the Holy One. So what does it mean? What is the emphasis here of the title Wonderful? I'm going to give you three. Number one, it is the glory of who he is. The glory of who he is. Who is he? He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is God in flesh. Secondly, the glory of what he has done for us. So not only the glory of who he is, but the glory of what he has done. What has he done? He died, was buried, and he rose again. Now, did he die just for the sake of dying? No, he did it because God told him to. He did it because God the Father said, I need a perfect son, and you are that perfect son, and in the time that I appoint, you will go to earth, you will be born of a virgin, you will live on the earth, you will be betrayed by your own, you will be slain, you will shed your blood, you will die for the lost who will later believe in the finished work of Christ, you will be buried, and you will rise again. But then there's another, to not only who he is, not only what he has done for us, but thirdly, the glory of his deity. The glory of his deity. He is God. He is just not a prophet, as the Jehovah's Witnesses will have you believe, or the Mormons will have you believe, or the Muslim will have you believe, or the Jews will have you believe. He is not the half-brother of Lucifer like the Mormons will have you believe. He is God. Now let me use an illustration here. In Judges chapter 13 gives us the story of the calling of Gideon to become a judge. Now, before Gideon was called, it was Samson in Judges chapter 13. In verse 18, it talks about the angel of the Lord. Now, wherever you see in the Old Testament scriptures where you see an angel of the Lord appeared, it was simply an angel. It was one of God's messengers. But wherever you see the angel, it is talking about an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. Theologically, the word is a theophany. Many times Christ appeared in the Old Testament. In this verse here, the parent, the father of Samson, asked this question. Who are you? I'm paraphrasing here. But who are you that is appearing before me? Here is the answer. But the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name? For it is wonderful. In the Authorized King James, it has the word secret, for it is secret. Now, what is meant by that? What is meant by that is this. It means wonderful, incomprehensible, or extraordinary. As the New Living Translation has it, more accurately translated is this. It is too wonderful for you to even begin to understand it. There is absolutely no way that our minds can even begin to comprehend how wonderful Christ is. No way. Why? Because our minds are limited. But the wonderfulness of Christ is unlimited. There is no way that we can even begin to understand how wonderful the name of Christ, the person and work of Jesus Christ really is. So let me ask you two questions. Number one, have you embraced how wonderful the name of Christ is? You may be a believer here this morning. You may have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you have not gotten to that point yet in your walk with the Lord that you have not even begun to try to embrace the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Secondly, do you look at how wonderful He is and meditate upon how truly wonderful He is? Now, what do I mean by that meditate? To think about it. To dwell on it. To let it run over and over and over in your mind. The word, whenever you see the word meditate in scriptures, it means to let it run over and over and over. It means like the cow chews his cud. That's exactly where it comes from. Okay, a cow chews his cud over and over and over and over. So we, as believers in Christ, we are to meditate. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. We are to allow God's word to ruminate over and over. So let me ask you this. Do you allow the name wonderful about Jesus Christ? Do you allow it to ruminate over and over and over in your mind? So His name, first of all, is wonderful. Secondly, the second name is Counselor. So we see wonderful, then we see Counselor. The Hebrew word for counselor simply means this: to advise, to consult, to give counsel, to give a purpose, to devise or plan. You know, Jesus is the one fit that can truly guide our lives. You know, we go to counsel, to ask for advice. Okay, sometimes you receive good counsel, sometimes you receive bad counsel. But who is the only one that can give you good counsel? And His perfect counsel, it's Jesus. See, humans may give you good counsel or bad counsel. Why is that? Because we're humans. Okay, we make mistakes. And we may not follow that counsel. But Christ is the only one who is fit to give us good counsel. Secondly, He should be our immediate resource as our counselor. I've used this illustration many times, but it proves the point. When we were in California, Sean lost a very important set of keys to the school that we worked at. And this is a very important set of keys. This was just not a key. Every room, office, classroom, building, on that campus, the key was on that key ring. Sean lost them. Okay, now, it was just not that she lost them, it was who they belonged to. Last name was what? Terigia? Yeah. Now, you did not want to have to go to this woman. I mean, everybody was terrified of this lady. Okay, it was, you know, I mean, you went, if when you had to go to her, it was with fear and trembling. You might know of people like that? Yeah. And was her first name Sandy? Yeah, Sandy Terigian. And Sean lost them. And she was looking everywhere. Did you ever find her? You never did. And she was looking everywhere, and she was petrified. I'm going to have to go before Sandy and tell her I lost these keys. Well, Brother Ed, Lord bless him, said, "Miss Sean, have you prayed about it?" And there were many times that I was struggling. He called me Brother D. Wayne. He said, "Brother D. Wayne, have you prayed about it?" You know, that should always be our first resource. When trouble comes into our lives, when anxiety hits, depression hits, discouragement hits, we begin to fear, begin to wonder, begin to doubt. Who should be our first resource? It should always be Jesus. Always. Why? Because he is our counselor. He is a counselor that he sits in the high council of the Godhead and sits in council with the Father and the Holy Spirit for our good. He is the high council of the Godhead that brought forth our salvation. Listen to what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. He said, "Hence you read in the book of Zechariah, if you turn to the 6th chapter and the 13th verse, this passage, the counsel of peace shall be between them both. The Son of God with his Father and the Spirit ordained the counsel of peace. Thus was it arranged. The Son must suffer. He must be the substitute, must bear his people's sins to be punished in their stead. The Father must accept the Son's substitution and allow his people to go free because Christ had paid their debts. The Spirit of the living God must then cleanse the people whom the blood had pardoned, and so they must be accepted before the presence of God, even the Father. That was the result of the great council." Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the originator, the perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is also the high counsel of the Godhead that guides our lives. And then his counsel is a necessary counsel for us to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Spurgeon also said this. He said, "It was by a counselor that this world was ruined. Did not Satan mask himself in the serpent, counsel the woman with exceeding craftiness, that she should take unto herself of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in the hope that thereby she should be as God? Was it not that evil counsel which provoked our mother to rebel against her Maker? And did it not, as the effect of sin, bring death into this world with all its train of woe? Ah, beloved, it was meet that the world should have a counselor to restore it, if it had a counselor to destroy it." So not only is he wonderful, not only is he our counselor, but thirdly, he is the mighty God. He is the mighty God. He is the God of all creation and glory. He is the Lord who reigns in heaven. He is the one worthy of our worship and our praise. I'm going to invite you to now to turn back to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to read a very lengthy passage of Scripture. But it proves the point of how mighty God is. How mighty Christ is. Here we have another, what I referred to earlier as a theophany. An Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. Let's begin reading in verse 10. This is commonly known as the Red Sea crossing. Okay, Pharaoh, let me give you a little bit of a background here. Pharaoh has given free passage to the Israelites to leave Egypt and to go to the promised land. But there was an obstacle, and that obstacle was the Red Sea. So they arrived at the Red Sea, and it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, which if you have ever been up all night or you have had to get up very early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning is the darkest time of the night. Pitch black. So they get to the Red Sea, and all they see before them is water. And then they hear behind them the armies of Pharaoh. So let's begin reading to verse 10. "As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by, or as it says in the King James, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army and through his chariot and his horsemen. That should give us right there an indication that every king, every ruler in the past, present, and future, they are put there for one reason and one reason only, to honor God. That is why they are there. God has put every ruler, every dictator throughout history, in present history and in future history, even the Antichrist, God will get the glory. He will get the honor. He does nothing. He allows nothing to be done on this earth because he is sovereign, and nothing happens on this earth without him getting the glory and the honor. And it says in verse 18, then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots, and in his horsemen. There we have, once again in verse 19, the angel of God. Who is this? It's Jesus. The angel of God who had been going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit. And all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen, went in after them into the midst of the sea. At the morning watch, note this, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, note this, underline it in your Bible, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. You need not fear Satan. He is a defeated foe, and he knows it. Now, he will try to worry you to death. He'll try to needle you. He'll tempt you. He knows your weaknesses, and he'll send his little minions before you. But keep in mind this, the same Lord that fought for the Egyptians is the same Lord that will fight for you. The next name, he is everlasting. He is everlasting. It means forever. It means to be continuing in future. It means of ancient, of past time. It means forever, of future time. And it means of continuous existence. It means forever of God's existence. So what is meant by the term everlasting? It means this: he lives in the forever. I believe it was in 1967 or 1968, on Christmas Day, the New York Times published in great big letters across the front cover of the New York Times three words: God is dead. Well, let me tell you this. There will be a day where the New York Times no longer exists, but God will still exist. God is not dead. He lives. He is just as powerful today as he was at the beginning of creation. He has always been and always will be. He inhabits eternity. He controls eternity. He is not restricted by time. He does not change. Time does not affect him. Isaiah 57:15, "For this is what the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy, says, I will dwell," or "I dwell in a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite," or the heart of the one who is repentant. And there is a fifth name. So it's everlasting. The fifth name is Father. Father. Those of you that have had good fathers, the word father here means Abba, which means daddy. Those of you that have had good fathers in your life, good daddies, you know this about him. He's loving. He's nurturous. He's compassionate. He protects. He instructs. He supports. He encourages. Yes, he disciplines. But the psalmist said in 103 verse 13, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." And then there's a last name, and that is the Prince of Peace. The prince, what does it mean by prince? It means a leader. It means a ruler. And what does it mean by peace? It means a completeness. So when a person says that I am at peace, it means that they are complete. That's what it means to have the peace of the Lord. That's what it means to be peaceful in your salvation. That your salvation, when you trust the finished work of Christ, it is complete. There's nothing more you have to do. The only thing you need to do, say everything was done by Christ at the cross. You just have to trust Christ. Make him Lord. And say, "Lord Jesus, I confess my sin of not trusting you. And I trust you. I'm dependent upon you." It's a soundness, it's of welfare and peace. With God, it is a covenant relationship. You know, God's word, especially in the Psalms, has a lot to say about peace. Psalm 4:8, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, have made me dwell in safety." Psalm 29:11, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." In Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased." Well, let me give you some applications this morning. The first one is this: Christ is God. Amen. You believe it? Now, I'm not talking about just knowing it. There's a difference between knowing and believing. Knowing is just, well, yeah, I know that. I've been taught that. I've got it in my head. Yeah, I know it. But you can know it without believing it. Believing it is trusting it. What amazes me about people is they will trust the writings of Aristotle and Homer's Iliad as being more factual than they will God's Word. That they will trust the writings and teachings of Confucius and Buddha and Mohammed before they will trust the works and wonders and writings of a holy, almighty God. John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. So the first point is Christ is God. That leads to a second point. Have you repented and believed the gospel? Have you repented? Repented from the sin of unbelief and turned to Christ? Have you believed the gospel? You say, okay, Dwayne, what is the gospel? Very simply, it is His death. He died. He died for the sins of the believers. He died for your sin debt that you could not pay. A debt that you could not pay. You owed a great debt. But God in His grace has given you forgiveness. When you trust Christ, your past, present, future sin is all forgiven and all under the blood of Christ. Secondly, He was buried. Okay, He died. He was buried. But did He stay there? No. On the third day, He did what? He rose again. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, now I make known unto you, brothers and sisters, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold firmly to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. We all know what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There was a man, I think he's deceased now, but whenever you turned on back in the 70s and into the 80s, he always had a rainbow wig on. Some of you that are my age and older remember this guy. He always wore a rainbow wig. And he would always sit in a very prominent spot. He showed up at the Super Bowl. He would show up at the World Series. Like I see Anthony nodding his head. He knows exactly. He would always hold up a sign. John 3:16. Okay, Tim Tebow, when he played for Florida, he would always put on his eye black. John 3:16. He would put on his wristbands. John 3:16. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No, there's not. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. So I'm not saying that the guy that held the sign was wrong or Tim Tebow was wrong. I'm not saying any of that. But here's my point. I've watched a lot of sporting events. I have never seen anyone hold up a sign that says, read John 3:36. Never. You know why? Because this is what it says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now let me ask you this question before I go on to rest. How long is everlasting? Forever. It doesn't end. It is eternal. There is no end to everlasting life. So if you are here this morning, and you are watching this morning, and you will listen in the future, and you have trusted the finished work of Jesus Christ, You have everlasting life given to you at that moment of repentance and belief. But it goes on to say this, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. That life, talking about everlasting life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. So let me ask you this morning, which one abides on you this morning? Is it his love? That he has given you everlasting life? Or is it his wrath? Which one? There's no medium. There's no halfway. Well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I also want this. No, it's either or. It's either Christ or it's God's wrath. One or the other. One or the other. So let me encourage you this morning. Don't leave here today without getting settled. Don't leave here today of saying, well, I wonder if I have everlasting life or not. Look, you read the newspapers just as much as I do. You see on the news just as much as I do. And I worked in the EMS world for 12 years. And I've seen and I saw many, many people wake up in the morning thinking that they still had a good 30, 40 years ahead of them, and their life was snuffed out just like that. Jeff has seen it. He's a fireman. Every soldier that's been deployed has seen it firsthand. Let me tell you, we are not guaranteed another breath. So don't leave here today without the assurance of knowing that you have everlasting life. How do you get it? You repent and you believe the gospel. That's it. You repent and you believe. Christ said, except ye repent, you must repent and believe, trust, depend upon the gospel. So let's look at those names once again. What was the first one? Wonderful. What was the second one? What was the third one? Fourth. I don't hear you. Okay, fifth. Father. Sixth. Prince of Peace. So as you go into this Christmas season, may those six names just not be special to you during Christmas, but may they be special to you, and may you continue to embrace those names as you grow in your sanctification and your growth in the Lord. Let's pray together, maybe. Our Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Father, that the name of Christ is wonderful, that he is our counselor, that he is the mighty God, that he is everlasting, that he is our Father, and that he is the Prince of Peace. We do thank you, and we do praise you. And Father, may we embrace it. May we embrace Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand, if you will, please, and we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Pastor Kim?
As you're standing, I will remind you to look for the doctrinal truth. This carol and Christmas hymn is not just about the angels. So be thinking about it as you sing these words. I'm going to do all three verses together.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise,
join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veil in flesh the Godhead see, all the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the head-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Glory to the newborn King. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful names of the Lord Jesus that we've inspected, we've been taught about today. Thank you that way back, even in the book of Isaiah, these names were given, and then Jesus came later who have fulfilled all these names. I pray that we would make him the Prince of Peace in our life this very day. And I pray that you bless us now as we're dismissed, as we come back together at the 6 o'clock hour this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.